This is Monday, the 27th of December, 71. Channel 1 over. The beginning of the second visit with Suzanne. This is Monday, the 27th of December, 71. Channel 1 over. Beginning of the visit, the second visit with Suzanne. This is Monday, the 27th of December, 71. Channel 1 over. And beginning of the second visit with Suzanne. This Monday at lunch, the 27th of December, 71.
I've been thinking, it's been about a week since I read it, and I read it pretty fast. I just wanted to see what was in it.
You know, I read it like Bob Lee does. I read it and took notes,
yeah.
So I wouldn't have to reread it.
I do that second time around, but I still have to reread it all the time.
Well, that's my trouble.
I never can.
Oh, he has a system. You see, he can go out and pull it out of his folder and go to in there and not even have his mind on it.
I can't do that. If I go into class without having read the story the night before, I just sit up there.
you have
I'm
to
totally incompetent.
You go in there and learn from Bob Lee. And it'll save you no end of time. I haven't learned from him, but it doesn't save me any time either.
Jim,
you never saw Bew play poker.
No, he's played with us a couple of times, but one time. But that was a long time. That was, gosh, before Jim and I were married. They wanted him to play with us. He used to play at night, but he'd come home late. And Nell knew he hadn't been drinking or anything, but I get this from Jim, and even he was kind of hazy about it. But it seemed like he came home real, real late one night, and he had been drinking that night. He didn't play poker at night anymore after that. He didn't stay late doing it.
It doesn't work out too well. But you think all his life he's played poker?
I guess, yeah. And he plays it at the base.
You mean they have a poker game going?
Yeah, penny ante, but they keep it going. That was news to me. Nell just told me about that because Barbara sent him this little machine, and it's got five windows. And you have this thing that spins the wheels around, and then you stop them, and you have a poker hand, and it's to draw a poker, and you decide which buttons you want to push, and you push those, and then it spins around again, and you stop it, and you try to see what you got. You know, it's like draw a poker. Bew's just, you know, he sits there, for, you know, he's always, every time he sits down in his new chair, he picks that thing up, and he starts playing. But he can't figure out. He says there ought to be 53 cards in the deck. You have 52 plus a wild card for draw poker. And he can't figure out how they've worked it out to have the right number of cards in the machine, because with the five wheels, it wouldn't work out right. So I expect by next week he will have taken it apart to find out how they did it.
He can do those things.
Well, Yeah, he can do it. He's not as bad as my father, but he'll probably have it apart after a while.
But he can do it. That's mm-hmm. his. That's his way. His mind works.
You want to know how they'd manage to get 53 cars on 5 wheels? And dumb me, I said, well, they just put the whole deck on each wheel. He just looked at me. He says, well, Suzanne, that way you might come up with, say, 5-10 of spades.
Yeah. You know how I work things out. I just stay with them and they get my mind and lodge and try to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cookie made a nice tape over here Monday. Yeah, well, that was last week. Well, I got Hellstrom and you and Jim and Mark worked in on it. You know, I didn't do it on purpose, but it's on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was, you see, it was the countryside. You see, you see people like that, what they do, and some of the skills of the countryside. And you do those things to them. Now, but you still can't quite get close to the countryside. See, Leonard took all those pictures,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote a little piece, and I don't think he's much closer than this fella who took the pictures in Tampa, you know, in that class.
Yeah.
I don't think he's close at all. I don't think he's got into it very much. See, Mark goes home and turns the stereo on and vibrates the walls and sets down the linen tablecloth. And somebody else puts food in front of him. And you see, he goes clear away from that world that he's worked in all day. He doesn't look at it. He doesn't know much about it. And you see, he could get lodging right out there if he would. I don't think he wants it.
Yeah. Well, he probably doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see, you get closer than the others to, you know, these things. But it's still in pretty small snatches.
Yeah, I'm just real, I guess, limited almost to the, what you might call the women's side. It's just about. And even then,
and see, if I don't keep it going, I won't learn. You see, I'll come up with something, or else, you know, look the other way or something. But so
well,
far,
we were
I'm
just
not.
Wondering, you know, just where, you know, we just didn't know.
Now, take the horses. You see, actually, your horses are taking you away from the countryside.
Oh, yeah, they don't have anything to do with it. Well, not in town there.
Yeah.
The only one who's close, and I'm beginning to see that, is that boy Al. I didn't know Johnny, but from what how you've talked about him, Al is a little closer to him. I used to think that, well, it's only the older people, you know, like Mrs. Chitty or Mr. Weaver, Miss Mary, who have that, whatever they have. Ability to talk and see, but Shirley Dodd's got it, and she's not old. And this fella, I think, has it to some extent. And he's 18. Of course, he's still, he likes to go to those juke joints, he said. I didn't really realize that, you know, but he's closer to that world, the cattle world, working cattle. And but he's the only one out there who does. The rest of them, Gemini, is kind of all pet.
Well, what kind of world is that out there?
There, well, it's
you.
I don't know. It's kind of, it's pretty funny most of the time because, Mac, who owns that place, he knows some about horses, but most of what he's picked up is from 4-H Club and Dr. Dudley and the University Agriculture Board.
Dudley's close to him.
The vet?
Yeah.
Well, you see, I never talked to him.
Oh, he's a genuine article. I had him out here for 3 or 4 years, and he's too rough for me.
You talk to him.
He's right out of Texas. He don't talk well.
That's right, he didn't.
Well, he might, but I never heard him talk. Maybe I didn't talk well then.
Maybe Suzanne's again.
He's Mount Warren Bubba. Yeah. Most everybody else, you see, there's Mac. All the rest of the people out there, and most of them are girls. And then there's one family that the woman, Mrs. Cook, owns a horse, and then her son has one. And then all the rest of the girls get on the horses.
School,
high school, junior high. And then there's one girl whose parents bought her a horse. And I think they're from New York. I don't know if I want to get into her. Everybody talks about Allison because she's spoiled. And she bosses her mother around and just really talks. Her mother cleans the stall. That's all she'll let her mother do. She gets really mad if her mother touches the horse or tries to help her. She yells at her mother, and she yells at her father, and she yells at the horse and slaps him and stuff like that. She fell off one day. She wouldn't ride the horse again. Said he bucked her off. Well, he did buck a little. He hopped like Hubie does, you know, where they stiff in their front leg and just hop. And she just fell off. And
that's what I do.
Well, everybody saw it, was kind of laughing because they knew it was going to happen. And so her father got on the horse, and the horse was still kind of fussing. And so they hired Al to ride the horse every day to find out if the horse was mean or whether it was Allison. Well, it wasn't the horse, of course. The horse was a pretty good one. And Al rode him every day for 2 weeks. And after a week, Allison finally got back on. And yesterday, the day before yesterday, she had some friends over from school, and she's riding the horse, and she tied him up to the post with this little short chain. And that horse hates it. Every time he gets on that chain, he'll throw himself all his weight back against it, to try to jerk loose. Well, he did it this time, and he kind of reared at the same time, and it scared her. So the next day, they took the horse off and traded him. And the man they bought the horse from said, if the horse isn't satisfactory for a year, or, I'll give you a year's sore warranty. If the horse isn't satisfactory, I'll trade him another one. So they took the horse back, and they got a 2-year-old filly, a little pony. And the guy who owns these horses is a trainer, and his daughter rode the filly to demonstrate how well broken she was and how well trained. Allison never sat on the horse. So now there's a horse in the stall, and it is, you know, it's, she's got a pretty head, but she's got a real, real tender mouth. Al, you know, felt it in there. And she's only green broke. And 2 years old, and they're putting a little 10-year-old girl up there who couldn't even ride a well-trained horse. And they don't know it. You know, she'll get on that horse, and they'll tell what's going to happen. But that's sort of par for the course. That's the sort of people out of that stable. Most of them know a little more about that, about horses.
Well, who are you running around with out there? You don't ride
that? I just watch. I can't ride. Well, I've been riding lately. I've been riding Eagle, but most of the time Jim and I work with Bubba.
Who's Eagle?
He's a $2,500 Appaloosa gelding. And the girl went home for Christmas, and she wanted somebody riding, so she asked me. So I ride him in the afternoons.
Logan?
Yeah, he's one of the prettiest horses out there. He knows it, I think. Now, he's kind of, like, he carries his head high all the time just for the heck of it. And once, the minute somebody's on his back, he starts to prancing. And I don't know, she said he was a show horse and also a parade horse. So he does a lot of sidestepping. And he's fine. He's fun to ride because he's got real good gaits. He has a jog like Molly. And he has a slow trot, and the fast trot's rough, but he's got a real, real slow canter. Just slower than a trot almost. And he can keep that up, and he's got, you know, he can keep going faster. Well, the only trouble with Eagle is, if you take him off, the minute you turn him around toward the stable, and it looks like you're coming back in, then it's just a running fight all the way, because he wants to gallop in. Max says that's what Corey does. She rides him a long way out, and then gallops him most of the way back. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to, you know, just run on back. So I don't want him to run on back, because if he runs, I'll probably fall off, you know, more than likely. So I try to keep him in a trot at least.
But he's a beautiful horse.
Oh yeah, he's a black and white Appaloosa, and he's got a real, real, real thick hair, and it's curly. It's almost like a the bull. You know, it's that curly around his knees and just real, real thick. And you see it on his rump, and it's just, you know, it's just like a little, about an inch of padding he's got on there. And when he's wet, when he sweats, all the hair all over his body just turns up in little curls. It's all over.
How are the spots?
The spots are real definite. They're big and kind of oblong and on a real white.
Is it a blanket? Yeah. All right. Is it a blanket or a rump?
Let me see.
Well,
I'm not. He looks like a gray till you get back to about his loins, and then it turns white and it's got the big, definite black spots. But
mostly, you and Jim just work your horse.
Yeah. See, most of the kids, they're younger than we are, and they don't, there's not much talking between people out there now. We talk to Mac, and we hang around a lot with Al. We didn't like him at first, but now we think he's kind of fun, and he's, you know, he knows a little more than most of the others. Seems to. Thinks he does. Anyway, he was teaching Jim how to rope. But the others come and, you know, they feed the horse and ride and come and then they leave. So they're not around much, hanging around. And there's not a tack room like Barbara had, you know, where you could sit in a in a room and just sit around and talk for a while, something like that. So it's
no tack room?
Well, there's little individual tack rooms, but nothing where you can sit down and clean your tack.
Like
and talk, yeah. You know.
Having a place.
See, Mac wanted to get a trailer, just an unfurnished trailer, and put in a stove, maybe a small refrigerator and a heater, and just maybe some rugs, and have a place like that. And that suit me no end because, I like working with Bubba, but I like just as much just going out there in the evening and talking with Al and Mac a little bit, but mostly Al. It's kind of like feeding a cow. I just look forward to it. But it's not the kind of thing where two men would hang over the fence and look at the horses and talk at the same time. They just don't do that too much. They talk about each other, but not about the horses. It gets down in personalities mostly. Like Allison, everybody thinks she's a brat. And Sally, everybody thinks she's spoiled too. And Mac got mad at her one day. He kept telling her to clean her stall out because she just lets it build up on the manure and all, and just puts wood shavings over it till you get 2 or 3 feet of manure and wood shavings, and she won't clean it out. So he paid this little boy named Jeff 50 cents to clean the stall out. He's going to charge her $15 extra a month for cleaning the stall. You know, just do it every day until she gets on the ball and starts it herself. So it took her about a week before she finally realized she's going to have to pay some money so she start cleaning her stall again. And one girl, all I see, she just kind of drives up, and I see her brush her horse and ride him on a weekend sometimes. Rides him about an hour, and she puts him back and unsaddles him, and he goes out and rolls in the dirt, and you don't see her again for a week.
So he doesn't get fed at night.
Yeah, she pays Al 50 cents a night. And you get fed in the morning free, but if you haven't fed at night, Al does it. 50 cents. But Al's a character. He's the one that's funny. He's 18. He looks about 16, I guess. And he's got one tooth missing up here where a horse kicked it out. And he wears big hats. Just real, the ones that have a real high crown. He's got a white one and a black one. The black one is kind of every day, and the white one he wears on dates. And he's got a pair of regular boots, and he has a pair of orange boots, and those are for dates too. And he comes out there, and he just kind of swaggers around. I guess he's always been on a ranch or a farm or something. He's got that real country way of talking. And he could care less about school. Jim asked him if he's going to go on to college, and Al just kind of looked at him. What kind of nut are you? Because what he wants to do is be a contest roper. Right now, he wants to learn how to be a blacksmith, because he figures that's a pretty good way of making a living. Or else he wants to work on a ranch, either way. But he's training his horse. But he's the one came in when we were gonna put the saddle on Bubba, and he jerked on the saddle horn. he got through that, and Bubba finally got him stopped, and he came up, and he just fell off, and he says, I just hate that happened. He says, I'm so sorry, you know, and he kept on for about 20 minutes apologizing. We kept telling him, well, you know, we're not blaming you. It wasn't your fault. We probably would have done the same thing. He said if it had been his father, he would have taken his head off. But, you know, even Al is not very, very real to me. He's just kind of funny. He took a girl on a date to the drive-in. He brought his mother's car, and he wore that hat, but he couldn't wear the hat in the car, or else he had to slouch down the roof, because there just wasn't room for that, and him both. But he said they went to the movie, and then they went to Shakey's, and then he went over to her house Sunday morning, and he was going to go over Sunday night. He said, I sure do like that little girl. I guess it's funny to Jim and I because he's, you know, he's just 17 or 18. It just seems kind of funny. Yeah. He had Becky ride bareback with him one day, and she didn't like him. She said his neck's so red it almost shines in the dark. She's from very, you know, I think her father's a doctor. I'm not really sure. But anyway, they live in a, you know, pretty fancy house. His neck's so red it shines in the dark. And he kept making the horse shy so she'd have to grab hold around his waist. She wouldn't do it. There wasn't any saddle, and so she wouldn't grab his waist. So she about fell off, and he grabbed her arm so she wouldn't fall. She says, you better let me go. She's 14, you know, so she slid off. And Al said, I don't think Becky likes me very good. And I said, well, she's kind of young. He says, yeah, she's just a kid. She's too young for me.
You all work Bubba out pretty much?
Well, I think he works us out more than we work him out, because we don't have a pen yet. See, Mac's like cooking that way. When he's, you know, they tell you, well, we'll have the stuff tomorrow, and 3 weeks later, he doesn't have stuff. All he needs is is the boards that go along the top around the pen. Jim set in all the poles, and they've been set in since before Thanksgiving, and still no boards. So there's not much we want to do with Bubba until we have a place where we make sure he doesn't get away. We tried putting him in a trot one night, and he did okay for about half the circle, and then he got himself all excited and started trying to, you know, just run away. And Jim pulled him back around. But now we just mostly put the saddle on him and lead him around, make him lunge like that. He doesn't like the saddle.
Still doesn't like the saddle?
No. We put him out there Sunday. That's what we did all day Sunday. About. We put him in the pen and put the saddle on him. Made it fairly tight so he couldn't buck it off. And turned him loose in there. And he just kind of stood there a minute, and he looked at us, and he keeps his ears back the whole time. You know. As long as he's got that saddle on, you never see his ears go forward. He just listens to it. He'd stand there. He'd stand and stand, and then he'd stamp his foot. And he'd stand some more, and finally, it was real windy that day, and the wind blew the blanket, flipped it up. That scared him. So he jumped, and then he's got that saddle around his, underneath his shoulders, I guess. And he ran down the end of the pen, and he ran back, and then he stopped. And he'd stand there. I guess he thought as long as he stood there, it didn't do anything to him. So I played him a dirty trick. I got some grain and put it in a bucket on the ground. See if he'd bend over to eat it. So he won't do it for hay anymore. He tried it one day and he found out the thing pinched him, or I don't know what it does. He won't bend down for hay, but he would for the grain. So he bent down and it scared him. So he jumped about 3 steps and he came back, and next time it was about 2 steps, and after a while he'd just eat, not paying attention to the saddle. But after about an hour, he got so he'd just walk around, not be bothered with it much. But he's jumpy with it on. Just throw up your arm to wave at somebody, and just like that, sets him off.
A little bags of sand on the stirrup end, put it in and weight him down.
Just face sitting over there like an owl. She knows all these things, you know.
You want a cookie?
Well, what else is there to do to a horse like that?
Guy, if you read the books, there's about 15 million things you can do to a horse.
you got some books.
Oh, we got too many books. And they all say something different.
Really?
The Western style books, most of them say that you should tie the horse, or one of them says that, well, you lunge the horse and you get him so he'll stop at whoa at any time and will stand on a slack line, and then you go up and start flipping with slickers and blankets and sacks and things. And then after a while, he'll just ignore that. He'll stand still on a slack line, but it doesn't tell you what to do in the meantime, you know, when you first start hitting him with that sack. Another one says you should tie him and stake him out. In other words, get two railroad ties chained together and tie him to one of them, you know, and let him just drag that around for a while. Says after a while, it'll do two things. It'll teach him to be still when he's tied and not to be afraid of the rope. I think what would happen if you get a horse tied up to a rope where you're not close enough to untie him, and he gets himself really tangled up in there. It's not that hard for him to break a leg or something. Then others say, well, you tie him to a post. And that's what Al says we ought to do. And Matt, just tie him to a post. And just do everything you can to him till he'll just stand there. Well, it all sounds good, but I don't know. They probably think that we're too afraid of him getting hurt, which we are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're afraid of him getting hurt, but the thing is, if you tie him up to a post and your halter doesn't hold up to that, you know, having 900 pounds thrown against it, well, then he's broken loose and learned another lesson, one you didn't want to teach him. So they don't have any answer to that. And then they say, well, driving, Max says, that's what you ought to do. You ought to drive that horse. And I said, well, yeah, Max, but in the first couple of times you do it, you kind of run the risk of the horse, you know, getting scared and running. If you've got, you know, 15 acres of pasture for him to run in, you're in trouble. He says, yeah, I guess we better get that pen set up pretty soon.
Does he have a cart?
No. Jim's going to make one.
That's a good way to spend the day over there, Suzanne. You can work with Bubba and then go have a picnic.
Yeah, it is fun. That's the trouble. Sometimes I just didn't do that. Like today, I got out there just to, you know, see if he's all right. About ended up staying all morning too. Well, you dope. You can come out and see Bubba anytime. But it's not, you know, I can look at the people out there and all, but it's not quite the same thing. It's just sort of, it's like going to a movie almost. For me, just back away from the strain, go see Bubba. Fun. I enjoy it.
And it's always something else happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of like lungs in a way. There's always something going on. You know, a horse getting away. We were in the stall one day, and this girl owns all the cats. There's 13 cats out there. Not to mention the chickens. But 8 of them are kittens. And they're always underfoot when you don't want them. And I about got myself killed that one day trying to get a cat out from under a horse's hoof. And the horse stepped on me. But she runs around with a broom in her hand. And she chases the chickens away with the broom. Well, she got mad at the chicken one day. And her stall's at one end of the pen and ours at the other. She came running from her end, just yelling just as loud as she could, her room up over her arms, and she got right next to our stall and banged it down on the fence, and just boom. Bubba just about went out of the stall right there with us in it. And Jim got mad. First time I've heard him yell at somebody. He yelled at her, "God damn it, don't you know there's people around here?" He says, "You don't knock a broom around that way with horses." And she got mad too. She says, "Well, I didn't know you were in there." She went huffing and puffing. Jim was so mad, it took him 3 minutes to calm down. Every time he'd think about it, he'd say that goddamn. His language has gotten terrible since he started working at Lund.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I'm picking it up, too.
Yeah.
That happened to me at Sears. I know. When I started working there for a while, I started talking like people.
But it's sort of easy I can see, you know, it's easy for Rick to sort of get involved with the Winn-Dixie crowd and not really see or not really know if it's a direct, sort of treat it like it's a movie, I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, it's so handy.
Yeah. Well, you see, one reason I like it, that's them and I, well, for one thing, the weather has been so beautiful, so there we are. That contributes. If it were cold, I don't think I'd like it so much. But Jim and I go out there, and it gives him time to kind of relax after working. And so by the time we get home, usually he's feeling good again. And I like it because it, well, that's what I do. I just relax when I'm out there.
And you don't need any, that's entertainment enough.
Yeah.
You don't need to go to the show.
No, I can sit out there all evening and just fool around with Al.
And you don't need to go to the show.
Not too often.
You have television?
No.
You don't want it?
Well, no, I don't want it because I do want it. I don't want it. Television is another thing, you see. It's an out. Instead of doing something, well, in school anyway, instead of doing a paper that's due or something, instead of being willing to sit down on something that might be a little hard, I go watch TV.
No.
And so I'm glad I don't have it.
Well, let me tell you, Suzanne, how would it be now if you go over there and Miss Mary's and work the horse with Marvin or some of them?
Well, that'd be an entirely different thing. Because I wouldn't be worrying about the horse so much as I'd be Marvin and Miss Mary. I'd be glad to get some some help on the horse, but you know, still it to them a horse is, you know, it's not a pet. It's an animal. And I expect they'd kind of approach it like they do the hay. Something to do, but, you know, there can be a certain amount of...
Well, I mean, they wouldn't, of course, they wouldn't make a business of the horse every afternoon. So, if you're out there working a horse, I don't guess any of those places, you wouldn't just find anybody there to work with you. You just work by yourself with them there.
Yeah.
Huh?
I expect. And they'd come give a hand off him.
Yeah. And that way you'd have the countryside in your mind. Because, you know, Miss Mary would come out there and pick you up on everything, wouldn't she?
Yes, she would.
And you wouldn't have to stay over her house. You could work over Shirley a little bit. Or anywhere. But really what I was thinking about, say you'd eat you some and put the thing over there.
Okay, would you have another one too then?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Have another one. Have all you want. And just put it over yonder.
Okay.
I was just trying to think after I got into it, you know, I make the statement, well, you get the idea from the countryside, and then it takes you away from the countryside. And I don't, then it occurred to me that I didn't know what else anyone could do. And I still don't.
Well, I mean, even you yourself, you have a farm and the cows and all, but I'd say you're about as far from the countryside as you can be, in a way. I mean, it seems to me that somehow or other, there's such a... I can't think like Miss Mary does. I mean, I can see maybe a little bit of how she does think, but I can't do it myself. And even if, you know, you do something like Bew does, where he tries to, you know, go back and start living in the countryside again, and just picking it up where he left it off when he was 15. And he might be able to do that, but for me, it would always be kind of like the haying. I do it. It's fun, but that's not just the only reason to do it. It'd always be something that, you know, besides.
And Uncle Eddie doesn't have any horses anymore.
Mm. He goes visit his son's horses. That's who he sold some of his to. He doesn't have any cows either.
No. So all you get out there is talk, and you don't want to talk.
You don't want to talk. You know, it'd be nice. I would like to hire somebody to break and train Bubba. So I could have him to ride. Yeah. It's fun to do it, but what happens is you get me concerned about the horse. But I wouldn't care whether Uncle Eddie did anything with the horse or not. Besides maybe being able to watch him do it. Like you say, I don't see Shirley handling the cows. And I have never seen Uncle Eddie handle a horse. And I'd like to see it. But the talk would do it just as well, just as best.
Well, you have to have both, of course, all the time. You have to have the experience and then the reporting, too. Well, I'm just saying now, you see, that's what you faced with. Constantly, you see, the institutions don't protect you now. You have to guard against them. Even newspapers say that. So you have to cut through what you find and sort of create your own. And I don't know just how you'd go about it. But I can see this, you see, Cookie doesn't work his horses. He talks about it, but he doesn't work them. And I don't think the others do either. Jack Stokes buys horses, but he doesn't handle them when he gets them. He just sells them. Does that means this is the only place you can go? Well, now you might find a better place, you see, with more interesting people, but it'd still be the same, wouldn't it, basically?
Well, the only kind of place you'd find that would be different, you know, a stable like this is always there's going to be some people know what they're doing. Mostly it's going to be, you know, kids with their first horses or something. Only place I could think of would be a professional trainer like Mike Kilton. Now he'll give the owners of a horse lessons and help them out, but it's not that. I don't think it's quite the same thing. You're not renting a stall there, you know. And it's like, say, if Cookie still worked horses, I'm not sure I'd risk Bubba with him. You see, but with Mike Kilton, I would. I think.
Well,
there, I think you'd get taught, but you don't.
You run up against the same thing I did. You see, I came out here to have cows to get into the countryside, and then I saw those woods cattle out there that were starving, and I had to abandon it.
Yeah.
But you see, it was my loss. I mean, at that time, I didn't know how to.
Know what, how to shift. Well, that's it. I could let Al take over Bubba. He's already broken and trained one horse, and evidently he's done a pretty good job of it. But he's rough. I don't think I could sit back and watch him. I'd be in there and say, no, you're hurting him, or something like that. So, you know, I can't.
So you
I can't make that that jump there.
You can't reach.
Let go
country.
Above it. Yeah.
You can't reach the countryside. So it takes you away from the countryside.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because that's the same. That would be the same thing.
Yeah. Same thing is happening to me.
Yeah, and the only reason you see we could reach the countryside through Johnny is because I wanted to move the train that way. And Johnny was good if he knew what he was doing.
Well, another thing is that by that time, you see, I was far enough along, you see, and Faye was here, that we could look at the people and holding the horses. Well, I don't know whether more, but we could also see the people. Well, now, let me tell you, Nick did this all that fall, you know, when he was pursuing that inquiry, if he is, the countryside took care of the horses, and he found some extraordinary things that he came back and made a tape of it, you know.
Yeah.
Now, that was right interesting. He don't talk. Nick's not much interesting to talk to. That is report. But that was interesting. What he did that fall. That's about as interesting as thing I know. And he kept that up. Over at Pete Ridge, there's another tape on that. but now. That wouldn't last forever, of course. And
well, he was looking at somebody else. He had a thesis. He was looking at it.
Yeah. And he was also riding horses,
mm-hmm.
and taking part in the rodeos, or whatever they call them, and doing that too.
Mm-hmm. I can see in Suzanne's case, you know, how it's different ways of using it. But as you say, it makes a difference in at the gym's worth at lunch all day.
Well, I'm never really tried to use Bubba to get into the countryside. I don't, not really, other than, you know, kind of Miss Mary look at him or something like that. It, you know, whether it's me or whether it's just, you know, subject to horses, it seldom, at least, well, I don't see. Miss Glisson, she talked a little bit, but my own horses just doesn't feel them that much, except for Mr. Weaver. I go, Cookie, you know, it's the training horses rather than just the horse. Because that rodeo, I think, I don't know, from what I've heard Al talking, that's kind of, you know, it's not, it's part of the countryside, but it's pretty different in a way.
A lot of that's training, too, as I remember from Nick's tape. Jimmy didn't keep the horse long. And he liked that boot. It was a successful trade if he got boot. Remember that?
What you're seeing is the little rich girls or the little well-to-do girls who come out and have kids. And that's what you're seeing.
It's funny because the one girl out there who apparently can ride just doesn't talk to anybody much at all. She'll ask you how much feed you want to order or something like that, but that's it. But that's what it is. You see, Al's the only one who is from the countryside or anywhere close to it still. And his idea of a great time is for him and a bunch of other fellows to get out there and rope calves on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, really?
And
they do that?
That's what they do. He was
right there?
Not there, no. They have to go over to a man who's got some calves.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get a dozen calves out there and just rope them all afternoon. And that's what he wants. He didn't want to piddle around with any horse show. He wants to get in the rodeo.
Yeah.
I thought for a while that when you talk about that it would be that some of the students, the ones in my classes, now a lot of them have horses, or have had horses, but I've never once, I've given them opportunities that they never once will ever talk about one. They won't do it.
They're not hard to talk. That's interesting. That is indeed. I think it, you know, just abstractly as we talk sometimes, it's a matter of cutting through what you find, creating something. I see. I can be closer to the countryside in here than I can if I'm over there with Miss Guthrie, because I'm actually working with her. And I've got to the point where the experience itself is not nearly so interesting to me as reporting on it. But you can't take it all by itself.
You know, you've got to, you've got to do it too. I don't know, Faye. That raises a question, though. I see, by and large, what I was interested in, you see, in working, say, with Ms. Rawlins and Twain, and with the background, is be able to learn from Ms. Rawlins how to report, and then use it on wherever you are.
Yeah.
And the countryside works out better because it's visible.
Yes, it's just visible. And it's not Freudian.
Right. That's why I say, you see, with Lums, I've never, other than just a real brief conversation with John, I've never talked to him, I've never talked to anybody else down there. And I'm not sure I'd want to, but.
I wouldn't call from your talk this morning, I wouldn't call Lums Freudian. It's just sort of rough.
Yeah, well, it's rough, but sometimes it gets sort of the other way, too. I guess that's because when Jim comes home, he's trying to work out with your boss. But
yeah.
It's rough.
yeah, that's right. Well, that's the Freudian part of it, where you're adjusting all the time and worrying about it and carrying on your mind. That's my notion of it. Well, that's the way it is with governance. And it makes you nervous and jittery, and you don't actually see, you don't examine what you do. You just react. So, that's it. Take it. We're going to watch this, I will.
I'm going to put a few things up.
No, I'll put them up.
Well, I need to. Okay. I need to get over to the leaves for the. Get off a minute.
Yeah.
But this basic thing of seeing a visible thing like we think we can do out here, it, in order to have a great deal of meaning, it's got to carry itself. And if you see, you know.
Yeah. That's curious, you see, you've got to create your own institution. That takes, I don't know. Oh, that's pretty car, Suzanne.
We accepted that in good grace, I must say.
Let me tell you what that'll do. That's like a man getting a promotion, you see. And then he's gonna be above his old friend.
Shoot, we may be having the same man to Suzanne.
Yes, we will. I don't think there's a doubt about it. It's just a question of when to start.
The brother comes and gets me at the airport in a brand new Cadillac.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt that time, but that helped me a little bit, you know.
I'm not a steady driver anyway.
I'm thinking about the horse race right there. Because
yeah.
I think that's I've got that far and I can't get past it. And it comes up. You've got to cut through the institutions you find. And that's hard to do. Hard to do.
Go ahead, what you doing? Channel 1 over, around 900, 950, and the end of the second visit with Suzanne this Monday at lunch, the 27th December, 71. Channel 1 over, around 900, 950, and the end of the second visit with Suzanne at lunch this Monday, the 27th of December, 71. Channel 1 right over, 900, 950, and the end of the second visit with Suzanne at lunch this Monday, the 27th of December, 71.